First of all, I want to say greetings to you all from Redeemer. I can remember I was in a discipleship group at Lawndale when y'all started this church. So I've been praying for y'all for many, many years. It is an honor to be here. And Miss Molly, we are constantly praying for you. And I'm constantly in trouble with the ladies at my church because they ask me, have you got an update on Molly? And I was like, no. I'm a typical man. I stay on the working end of a chainsaw most of my life. But we pray for you. And we have been for a while. And we will continue. We love y'all. And we love y'all. John's already alluded to the fact that I'm a kind of a Psalms addict. And I'm reminded of a song, a regular song, when I come to this psalm. It's an old country song. It says, isn't it funny how a melody will bring back a memory? Take you to another place and time. Completely change your state of mind. We all know the truth of that. We hear something, it just moves us. This psalm puts me in the mountains of Peru. And as I have studied it, I cannot keep my mind out. I went down with Lawndale. They have an outreach in Peru, and always, Bill Bradford is, as John, just dear brothers. So I've got to go down there with y'all. But I was working at Cooper Tire at the time. Couldn't get off at the exact time. But I was able to kind of overlap a little bit. So that turned into some interesting stories. Flying to Peru by yourself is a challenge. But anyway, so they left. And I was still there, so the missionaries accompanied them back. So here I sit on this square in Celandine, Peru, surrounded by folks that are about that tall. I couldn't speak to them, and they couldn't speak to me. And finally the sun rose above one of those mountains, and I was like, universal. I said, east, to one of the elders of the Peruvian church. He said, oeste. And I was like, hey, we've got connection here. I said, west. Oeste, that's okay. And it just, that is when this psalm, the next morning, that was kind of my link to, and that's when I began to understand the universal nature of this psalm. And I can remember when I left down there, I never did learn Spanish. I still don't know. I said, I understand you. Can't understand you with my ears. I can understand you with my heart. It's the last thing I had translated to. There is a universal nature to this psalm. Because the next morning, after that experience, of course, the missionaries came back, so this was about a half a day or so. So I was not down there for a week and couldn't speak. 107. And I begin to understand a little bit about this psalm. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who has redeemed from trouble, gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, the north and the south. Some wandered in desert places, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry, thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. For they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed down their hearts with hard labor, and they fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze, and he cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds and songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet. Brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into a thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, and a parched land and the springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless places. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Dear ones, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. I love that. Oh, my King. Who can indeed do justice to this? I can remember, Lord, when you summoned the Levites to let the people to give the sense to the law. What an amazing task John and Bill and so many take on. Father, I know they and I know I in this very moment. The only way that I could stand here and say a word is because I know it's not about me. My soul soars as I think, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth, furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall your word be. It will not return to you void without accomplishing what you desire, without succeeding in the matter for which you sent it. Therefore, my King, I can stand, because it's not about my word. Oh, for these dear ones, names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, precious in your sight. Lord, feed them by your word. Move me out of the way. And may your word do its work for these here. In the majestic name of the most holy and blessed name above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Folks, I've been praying for y'all for a while. I still meet with it's good that guys meet together. We can talk about Psalm 107, and we can also talk about motors and chainsaws and fishing and football and all of that. But it was so funny to watch this group of guys. I said, prayer request came Wednesday morning. And I said, I want y'all to remember those poor souls at Trinity and Corinth. And they all, almost with one accord, just like, what's going on? I was like, they've got to listen to me for a few minutes Sunday morning. So y'all are being prayed for. What a wonderful psalm this is. I can remember, we've talked a little bit about John didn't know I was a Lord of the Rings fanatic. I named my dogs after the hobbits. So I got Frodo Baggins is one of my dogs. And I got Samwise Gamgee. He won't stay out the road, so I'm looking for another Samwise Gamgee right now. But I've got a Pippin. And so anyway, but when Lord of the Rings first hit, I was not raised in a Christian home. And so I didn't know who Tolkien was. Sounded like something I used to get at the arcade, you know. Who is Tolkien? And but I had a buddy that kept coming in to Cooper Tire. And he was saying, the precious. And I was like, what are you talking about? And you shall not pass. And all this. And I finally said, what are you talking about, Joe? He said, Lord of the Rings. But of course, whenever that was, I've worked at Cooper for 24 years. So that's been a while. So finally, he just kept talking. I said, what? In a word, what is this that you keep talking about? And boy, he stepped back there for a second. Now I know why. I'd never read, watched anything at that point. And he said, epic. I said, epic. He said, yes. He said, this movie covers everything and everybody. It's not about a country or a time, the whole world. I said, really? He said, that's the way I would describe Lord of the Rings. It's epic. That's the way. I'm going to quote that great philosopher, Joe, my buddy at Cooper Tire. That's this song. You're in this song somewhere. This is a huge song. Lloyd Jones, which I will not do this, Lloyd Jones, you might talk your pastor into it, preached 8 sermons on this, averaging a little under an hour. And I realized early on, there's no way I can touch it. I hope to pull out the main points and to whet your appetite for what is this amazing song. If you're a music lover, y'all, you know, people put together greatest hits albums, you know. John and I talked about, I don't know how this is not on our greatest hits album. We're at 23, of course. 121 is one of my favorites. Psalm 46, be still, know that I'm God. God is my refuge and strength. 91, 84. But when I read this, I just almost, it's almost like when you get that tape or that CD, I'm telling you how old I am when I said tape, and you hear something that got tucked on to a greatest hits album, and then you listen to it, and you're like, wow, that was a good song. Why didn't I know this? Here, that's what this is. I commend this song to you. I will just scratch the surface. But I want you to look at the first verse and the last verse before we really get started on these groups of people. His steadfast love endures forever. And then he asks you in the last verse, consider. Consider. I love that word. Consider the steadfast love of the Lord. You've heard that. I've already quoted it. Psalm 8. When I consider the moon and the stars that you have put in place, when I consider that, what does that lead to? Who is man that you are mindful of him? Why? Because you have considered. You have reflected. So I'm going to ask you, as I paint these pictures of these four groups of people, to consider the steadfast love of the Lord. This is not one of those, I've listened to John's sermons, y'all are a blessed folks. It's not going to be one of those deep end of the pool sermons. I love what is said about the Word. The Word is such, it's like a swimming pool where the smallest, the most we among us can play. And the best swimmers among us can dive as deep as we want. But both can enjoy that pool that is the Word of God. So everybody's going to have something, but this is not going to be some deep and probing. This is going to be more 50,000 feet. This is universal. This is me on that in Celandine, Peru. This is something that everybody gets. This is epic indeed. Our definition for steadfast love, there's so many. It's mentioned over 200 times in the Old Testament. It generally refers to a covenant love. And you guys get that. Just this is not an exhausted definition. This is something we can work with as we look at these folks. God's love is strong, unwavering, unchanging. Steadfast love means loyal, devoted, or committed, and can also mean immovable, firmly fixed, and not subject to change. Firmly fixed and not subject to change. What he's going to do here, what we're going to consider, is we're going to walk through four situations that the psalmist is leading us through, and you are to identify and then say, what about this firmly fixed, steadfast love of the Lord when my chainsaw won't crank? What about this firmly fixed, steadfast love of the Lord when my buddy dies and I'm trying to struggle through Psalm 32? What about the steadfast love of the Lord when I get stuck in Birmingham traffic? What he's trying to say is you are constantly, no matter what goes on, and he's going to demonstrate it through this, you are in the steadfast love of the Lord, firmly fixed on you. And that changes things. And that's what he's driving us to. He's driving us to praise at the end of each of these things. And even when he says, consider these things, praise the Lord for his goodness. He is there when that tree falls the wrong way. He is there when the car won't crank. He is there when you get the cancer diagnosis. We just had it's not Jack. John, you may remember him, Donnie. He was diagnosed with cancer. 3 weeks, funeral. Unbelievable. But he knew this. And our dear, remember when I first became an elder? That was an elder at Lawndale said, hardest thing you'll ever do. And boy, he's been right. But it's rewarding. But it's, they turn to us. Why? Just like your son, you why don't I start? I don't know. Why does Donnie die? I don't know. Let me tell you what I do know. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. You can't get outside of that box. I like to contrast it with Psalm 136. And I preached on it. The first time I ever preached on a Sunday morning, I preached on this psalm. And I felt like I needed to tell a story to illustrate each of the points, and I went over an hour. As you notice, I've got this thing clicking right here. So, fear not. It is running. But I contrasted it then. Psalm 136, 26 verses, it talks about this. To make a point, I will not read this psalm, but notice something about Psalm 136. It's all about him. There's two things that you hear regularly through that psalm. To him who. To him who. 26 times, basically, he goes through. He did this, and he did that, and he, look at this. He killed this Sihon, king of the Amorites, his steadfast love. He does great wonders. His steadfast love endures forever. But it's all about him. He is that. Psalm 107, we get a little playtime here. And in some ways, it's like, how do you personally experience the steadfast love of the Lord in the different situations of life? Well, we're going to look at four groups, and we're going to kind of run through them. Because, like I said, we get some playtime in this. We're going to see some lost folks in verses 4 through 9. Some prisoners in 10 through 16. Some sick folks at the point of death, 17 through 22. And folks in a storm, And I have no idea, but that's where we'll camp out when we get there. And like I've already alluded to, unfortunately, I had stories for the second group too. I was converted. I had a rough life. And he called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. And boy, when I say called out of darkness, it was dark. Not raised in a Christian home or anything like that. So unfortunately, I know a little bit about them prisoners too. He delivered me from the domain of darkness, says in Colossians, and transferred me, yeah, this old redneck, into the kingdom of his beloved son in whom I have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. It's an amazing thing. How sweet the sound. But I didn't tell real bad stories about the second, but I told stories of each. We'll abbreviate them here. But what I want you to look at is we consider these four groups, lost, prisoners, sick, and in a storm. There's a number of ways, and I've listened to Lloyd Jones lots on this. I think it's appropriate to just, you can apply some different things here. And what I mean by that, there was a time, I think, it's actually, you could consider this as stages of your life. A stage that you were lost. A stage. You can look at it as individual instances like this. But the psalmist mainly means all of them are in a certain place that is very different. How is a storm and lost in the desert the same? They cried out to the Lord in their distress. And basically what the psalmist is saying, whatever you're in, you may have got there in a different way, and you may be there in a different time. But it's not an accident here. The word is pushing us toward praise, pushing us toward you've got really one problem that manifests itself in different ways, but there is one solution. And they cried out to the Lord in their distress, whatever the problem was. And that's why I say it's a universal psalm. So our first group was lost, verses 4 through 9. Some wandered in desert waste, finding no place to a city to dwell in. Their soul fainted within them. I also want y'all to look at, there's something I didn't really realize till this morning as I was going over. Look at their pre-call out position too. There's really four things that are common, but I love this statement. I'm not going to say who said it because I'm not going to just get into endless so-and-so said this, but it has been well said. God sets up his office at the end of your rope. Each one of these folks ended up there. The lost ones, their soul fainted. The prisoners fell down with none to help. The sick drew near to the gates of death, and our storm folks were at their wits' end. But they had been driven to the end of themselves by said affliction. And guess where that's where God shows up? At the end of your rope. If you've ever been, I get tickled with, I hope I'm not offending anybody. I probably am. City folks talk about getting lost. And I always ask, were you in a vehicle? And invariably I hear, yeah. So you wasn't lost. The road in front of you, gassing, yeah. You turned around. But you weren't lost. I've been lost. I used to hunt Knoxby National Wildlife Refuge. 42,000 acres. Before these things right here. The scariest thing that you'll ever look down and see as it's raining and getting dark and no cell phone and nobody in the world knows where you are is your own track. You look down and you're just like, yep, there ain't one fella out here wearing a 13. That's lost. No flashlight. Nobody's going to come get you. If you've never experienced that, you've never really experienced what these folks are doing. They were bona fide lost. And what does that do? Your soul faints within you. It is a horrible feeling, folks. And it seems like them old owls, they know right when to holler at you. You know, just right when you get on, you just want to run off. You know, where are you going to run to? Because you're lost. That's these folks. They were truly lost. They were not turned around. And their soul fainted within them. So what did they do? Hey, I got an idea. Let's cry out to the Lord in our distress. Let's cry out to the Lord. Are you lost in something? You just don't really know. I don't. We got some big decisions hitting us, both personally as a nation. Some of them are hard decisions. I love Hezekiah's prayer when the Assyrians were surrounding him. Remember what he prayed? Lord, I don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That's these folks. I don't know what to do, but I'm going to cry out to the Lord in my lostness. Prisoners, there's something about that door locking behind you, and you ain't got a key to it. It will drive you to the end of yourself. Our second group of people are that. And there's some people, unlike me, that got locked up for Christ. Even as we speak comfortably right now, they're in chains for our Lord Jesus. It's a tough place to be. But unlike the folks that are in this desert lost, the vastness was their prison. So the second group, they can't move at all. They're chained to the wall. So you would think, well, certainly then the answer must be different, because the one group, as far as they can see in any direction, they could go. The second group can't move 3 feet. But they cried out to the Lord in their distress. Verses 10 through 16. And he delivered them. I was going to wait to the end of this. Interestingly enough, this is not in my notes. What got said right there, you know, by the Lord? What would we have done? You know, it got said to me, I'm not coming to get you this time. We get to talking about bed linens, don't we? You've made your bed. You're going to lie in it. Is that what he said? No. God is amazing to me. What's he say? Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. He didn't say, I tried to tell you to stay out of that mess. No. That's not what he says. Don't treat him like he does. Like, I love what Moody said one time. One of the biggest challenges of life is trying to not treat our Heavenly Father like our earthly Father has taught us to treat him. Such a great statement. He's not, that's not what, if you're in jail, or in other words, if you've done something because of yourself, I love that picture. I'm sure some of you have got it. Big old eagle, you know, he's sitting up there just so majestic. And there's this cat. This is a real picture that is easing up on him. You can almost see the cat in his imagination. Oh boy, that's going to be, I'm going to have to get the freezer out on this, and that's a lot of bird right there. And that eagle is just looking at him like, really? My brother told me about this first. I finally saw the picture, and it's just like there's this cat that is very optimistic about his strength. And the caption under it says, here's the eagle looking down at the cat that's easing up on him. A very bad thing's about to happen to you, and you don't have nobody to blame but yourself. Now, have you been there? Has a very bad thing happened to you, and you don't have anybody to blame but yourself? You can't say, you know, he made me do it. No, it's Phew, you're a dummy. You made a bad mistake. Don't expect God to say, let that ego get you. You made your bet, lie in it. You know, that's not what he says. They cried out to the Lord from a prison that they put themselves in. And he heard them in their distress. This is our God. Sickness. We finally get to something that's going to kind of akin to the last group. Sickness. It says, truly sick. Unfortunately, we can all identify with this. We have drew near to the gates of death. Now see, a sickness, that's when it kind of starts to change. I guess I probably did say that at the right time, because what did we do to get sick? You know, sometimes you can point to a direct, you did this, you played out, you did this in the rain. You run your sawmill in a storm. Imagine why you got the flu. Can't imagine why. Some folks, they just end up sick. They loathed. I'll just read this section here. 17 through 22. Because unfortunately, we know this. Some were fools through their sinful ways. I didn't say that right. That's what I get going away from my notes. And because of their iniquities, suffered affliction and loathed any kind of food, they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. They drew near to the gates of death. That's where I want you. Very quickly, some of y'all know I've had major heart surgery. And I found an inch and a half hole in my heart. And I never will forget this, because I'd cut a tree off a house that day, and I was going into night shift to Cooper Tire. Hadn't had any sleep. Of course, I had about 5 pots of coffee in my mind. And they called me and told me this on Friday night. I said, I just cut a tree off a house. Oh, no, Mr. Foster, you don't need to do that. I'm going into night shift tonight. Well, you can't. I said, ma'am, I got to go in. And I finally, so you really don't need to do that. So I asked Dr. Google about that, what was going on. Sudden death. I never will forget this. I walked up to my supervisor and I said, according to this condition, I may be fitting to die. I said, I'm going to try to get out there to my truck, you know, to keep even thinking about this from breath. I said, I ain't scared of dying, but boy, it does something to you, doesn't it? To near the doors of death. Of course, they got me on a table in about 7 days, and I'm fine, obviously. There was an inch and a half hole down in my heart. Had it there all my life. They don't know how I made it to 49. But I never will forget being brought to that, the doors of death. And I did 2 things. I cried out to the Lord in my distress, and I called my son. We hadn't talked in a long while. Yeah, I've had teenagers too. I said, son, we finna have to talk. I don't care if it hurts your feelings or not. You know? It changes things. The last group, so we've got lost folks that cry out to the Lord in their distress. We got prisoners that cry out to the Lord in this distress and delivers. And we got a sick folk that near the gates, the doors of death, cried out to the Lord. Different circumstance, common response. Different thing. And it goes back to what I'm saying about this universal nature. You're here. You're going to be in this psalm somewhere. But the last one is, I don't even really know that it's my favorite. And if this is, I'm teaching on providence on Wednesday nights. And I cannot tell you how freeing it is for somebody with the amount of shame that I've got. I'm just like, so I haven't completely mess this up. One of the reasons I'm going to seminary. Providence. We overestimate ourselves and we endure shame that we shouldn't because we don't really have the power that we think we do. But providence is why I push on. So our last group starts in verse 23. Some went down to the sea in ships doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, His wondrous works in the deep. He commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, and they went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil play. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. It's the only story I'm going to tell. When Connor was these fellas' age, all I used to have to say, did I ever tell you about the time? That's all I had to say. And boy, all his buddies, they'd come, they'd just almost get your popcorn. He made me tell about the bull. But these folks right here, there is no indication that they were doing something wrong. In the text, there's just that little tucked in their evil plight. But I've got Lloyd-Jones I can kind of back up against. He thought the same thing. These folks were driving down the road on a normal day, except they were going out on the ships to do business. One day, when I was 19, I think, this is before I was on my own at that time, didn't have a washer and dryer, and I went and done my clothes. While I was coming back, I had an old $1,500 mobile home. I was going back out east to South Tilla. Well, I'm a deer hunter. And there was this road, logging road. I'm a logger still. I said, I wonder where that goes. Bad idea. I had an old 92 Ford Ranger. I think I could pick the tail end of that thing up and get it out of a mud hole sometimes. Just a little bitty truck. Y'all remember how those were. Well, I said, I wonder where this goes. So I just, one minute I was on blacktop, I was just exploring. Big old hills, kind of like these waves that rose up. Sure enough, at the bottom of one of them hills, it had been a rain, sand collects at the bottom of the hill. I couldn't turn around because it was a skitter road. One way. I was like, well, I better hit it pretty hard. That didn't work out well. Whoa! And all I had was my clean clothes and one double bit axe by myself. I was like, darn, this was not well thought through, you know. So I got out, took my one double bit axe, and I went around there. Of course, the back of the truck was deep. And I took that double bit axe and think you can't make that into a shovel, you're wrong. So I was digging out, just fussing, just like, boy, everything was great just a while ago, and here I am, stuck. Nobody knows where I am. Well, about that time I heard something. Pop, well, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm in the middle of nowhere. I'm thinking deer. So I raise up and look over the cab. That's not what it was. It was a big old bull that had broke out of somebody's pasture and was sitting there bleeding and stomping his feet and looking at my truck stuck there. And no, he was stomping, but nobody was singing, if you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. And boy, he was stomping. And I was like, huh. Man, how's this going to work out? I'm stuck. And this dude's fishing to get after me. Boy, he's mean. I bet he weighed 2,000 pounds. Big old white-faced bull had broken out somewhere. And it hit me. How did I get in this situation 5 minutes ago? 5 minutes ago, I had my clean clothes, and I was headed home. I was figuring out what kind of bologna sandwiches I was going to eat. And now here I am with a 2,000 bloody bull and a stuck truck in the middle of nowhere. I'm just like, how did this happen? Now, I did get out, just in case y'all wondering. Rocked it back and forth and shot past him. He run at me a little bit, and I'm thinking, I'm hoping this road comes out somewhere else. It didn't. So I turned around, and I was like, I got to go back past this bull. And he's going to think, I done tried to tell him, I'm getting him this time. And when I came back through, the only thing, there was no posted speed limit on that logging road. So, fella, when I come back through, I was doing about 40. He barely missed my truck. He did. And then I hit that hole that I got stuck in doing about 50. So the bull got muddy and I got muddy, but I didn't get gouged. But the thing of it is, have you been there? A normal day. You hadn't really done anything to get locked up in prison, had you? Brent, my best friend in the world, was up here close to y'all somewhere. Guy just decided he's going to get on the other side of the road intentionally. Y'all see that on the news? And I thought to myself, and he ended up, you know, I don't think anybody was killed in it, about a month ago. I'm just sitting there thinking, there's people just going home from work. And all of a sudden, they get wrapped up in something over their heads. That's these people. And I'm sure it's you. You ended up in a storm that you weren't expecting. Didn't see it coming. And all of a sudden, your whole world is going crazy. You may not have a bull chasing. You got worse. And guess where you're at? You're at your wit's end. And we're there. Too many people here to know that that ain't hitting somebody. A storm that you couldn't see. And I can tell you this from a fellow that's had a few storms. Cry out to the Lord in your distress. He is not surprised by these waves. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from his distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet. He brought them to a desired haven. Where should push all of these folks? Let them give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. These folks left. You won't convince me, the Lord, my King, might say, no, I wasn't thinking about this. But I think he was. Matthew 8. 23 through 27 records such a journey. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. They went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord." Sound familiar? "Save us, Lord. We are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? How are you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was a great calm. Can't you just get there with him in the boat? A great calm. It's almost like these storms, they leave as quick as they come on, you know. "Peace, be still." And the men marveled. He rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm, and the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Dear ones, I know there's storms, because I'm alive, and I got storms, and you've got storms, big storms and small storms. I remember we've got some about this age. Elsa wasn't doing well, and Ziva. She calls me, she can't say Jeremy, she calls me Shami. Uncle Shami, Elsa, stress all messed up. Oh, dear one, I'm sorry. It's a storm. Probably been well said. A crisis is self-defined. I don't know if I completely go with that, but I can understand that. A crisis is self-defined. A storm is self-defined. Don't ever tell somebody. Like my buddies used to tell me when I'd cut myself, they'd say, Foster, I'd have worst place night on my eye, you know. Don't tell them that. There's a storm. There's storms here. I love, be still my soul. There's a line out of it that says, be still my soul. The waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Those storms that you so much dread, that prison, he rules them. And his steadfast love is fixed on you. Your names are engraved on his hands. Engraved, not written. And your walls are ever before him. Know this. Let's pray. You are our refuge and our strength. And you are a very present help in trouble, my precious King. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth will change, and it does, my King. Though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, and it does. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake, that would be us, at its swelling pride, Lord. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, your dear church, Lord. The holy dwelling places of the Most High. You, our King, are in the midst of it. We will not be moved. Father, may you teach us through these storms the truths of those psalms. And whether we like the King James or the New American Standard, whether we just be still and know that you are God, or cease striving and know that you are God, may these dear ones know for certain that your steadfast love endures forever and you do not change. Oh, the events of our life are ever changing. Do this, O Holy One of Israel. Send your spirit. Feed your sheep. In Jesus' name, amen.